In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace and peace to you from God our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Advent, time to prepare, a time of hope and hoping. And in the midst of all the hustle and bustle of the preparations for the Christmas season, we are in the stores and shopping. And wouldn't it be funny if through all of the announcements of the bargains to be had here and there, we heard, "Attention, Kmart shoppers! Jesus Christ, the one you seem to have forgotten, is coming again. Perhaps he will arrive in time for Christmas. We suggest you begin to prepare for his coming today." Silly. Very improbable. Not going to happen as you're out shopping these days, but wouldn't it be nice for those who truly have forgotten to be reminded? We have all heard the sayings, two things in life are certain, death and taxes. And as students of Holy Scriptures, you know that's not a true statement. Yes, taxes are certain, but death is not. What you say? No, death is not certain. The second coming of Christ is more certain than is death. And St. Paul reminds us unequivocally, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall all be changed." And he underscores that statement with further words in his letter to the Thessalonians when he says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord." Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians has been called by many as the epistle of the second advent of Christ. The last verses of every chapter mention Christ's coming. And although centuries have elapsed since these promises were penned, it does not diminish the certainty of their fulfillment in the least. Let me explain. We all know well the words from the prophet Isaiah, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Now, even though there is a very small space as we read our Bibles and look at those words between the phrase "son is given" and "the government shall be on his shoulders," we all know that it has been some 2,000 years since the birth of the Son, and the government is not yet upon his shoulders. Yet, just as certainly as the promise of the birth of the Son has been fulfilled, so will the second part of that promise be fulfilled when Christ comes at the end of time. The one thing you can be certain of is Christ is coming again. Our Lord prepares his people for his coming. In our text today, St. Paul writes with confidence, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." How can it be that we who sin daily, who know our hearts' duplicities as saint and sinner, will stand before the piercing gaze of a righteous God as ones who are blameless on that day? Our beloved Dr. Luther speaks to this very paradox in an Easter sermon that he preached on Luke 24. Allow me to share just a couple of words. "A Christian is at once a sinner and a saint. He is wicked and pious at the same time. For, so far as our persons are concerned, we are in sins and are sinners in our own name. But Christ brings us another name, in which there is forgiveness of sins, that for his sake sins are remitted and pardoned." So both statements are true. There are sins, for the old Adam is not entirely dead as yet, yet the sins are not there. And the reason is this: for Christ's sake, God does not want to see them. I have my eyes on them, I feel them and see them well enough, but there is Christ commanding that I be told I should repent, that is, confess myself a sinner, and believe the forgiveness of sins in his name. For repentance, remorse, and knowledge of sin, though necessary, is not enough. Faith in the forgiveness of sins in the name of Christ must be added. But where there is such faith, God no longer sees my sins, for then you stand before God, not in your name, but in Christ's name. He adorns you with grace and righteousness, although in your own eyes and personally you are a poor sinner, full of weakness and unbelief. The words of Dr. Luther. Can our minds comprehend this message? The very Christ who will one day judge the world in righteousness entered our human experience centuries ago. He lived the blameless life we were incapable of living. And then he died the death we deserve to die because of our failures. And now he bestows his own blamelessness on those who simply believe that what he did for them. Astonishing? Absolutely. This is most certainly true, Dr. Luther would say, for Paul writes, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." We need reminding. We need to prepare. One day a traveler was in Switzerland touring the countryside and came upon a secluded estate. Didn't look like it was traveled past very often, and he knocked at the gate, and a very aged caretaker came and opened the gate and greeted him. The caretaker invited him inside, and the tourist said, "Have you served here a long time?" And the gardener said, "Oh, yes, a very, very long time, many years." "Does your master come and visit very often?" No, he's only been here 4 times in the last, several years." "Well, when was he here last?" "Well, it was over 10 years ago. I'm almost always alone," the gardener replied, "except, you know, when a stranger like yourself comes by." "Yet you keep the garden in perfect order," said the traveler. "Everything is flourishing as though you were expecting him sometime this week." "No," the gardener said, "I keep this garden as though he were coming today." Today. Pastor was in visiting a relative. He looked at the wall and there was a plaque hanging there. 2 words adorned the plaque: "Perhaps today." He nodded, a knowing nod, when he realized what those words sought to convey. Perhaps today Christ will appear. Perhaps today the Lord of life and love will come in all of his glory. For we live each day in the mercy and the love and the trust that God has shown us in Christ Jesus our Lord. And as his baptized people, we rise each day to witness his love and forgiveness by the decisions we make and what we do and what we say. And part of that witness is our eager anticipation and preparation of his return to take us to himself. So perhaps we should look at the list. Who's coming for Christmas? Maybe he'll come this year. Perhaps today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.